Hey there, just a heads up, this podcast is for grown-ups only. We're talking about adult stuff, think spicy language, mature themes, and topics your grandma might raise an eyebrow at. So if you're under 18, come back when you're older. For everyone else, enjoy the ride. Welcome to Hacking Love, Deepening Commitment Through Open Relationships. I'm Anna.
And I'm Aiden. We're thrilled to have you on this journey.
Together for 3 years now, we both came from long marriages and found ourselves craving a fresh approach to love and connection. Traditional monogamy just didn't resonate with us anymore, and we realized that exploring ethical non-monogamy could be the key to deepening our relationship and enriching our lives. In this podcast, we'll share our experiences, insights, and the lessons we've learned along the way. We want to create a space where you can feel comfortable exploring new ideas about relationships, whether you're curious about E&M or just seeking solutions for challenges in your current partnership. So if you're ready to rethink what love can look like, tune in as we dive into the world of ethical non-monogamy and discover how it can revolutionize your relationships. Welcome to Hacking Love. Okay, before we start tonight, we were listening to last night's recording, and Aiden thought that it sounded like he drank or smoked pot or had issues with that before or anything. But I want to clarify, we don't drink or smoke pot. It's just doesn't work for us. We just don't like how we feel when we're on it. We do enjoy the occasional psychedelics, but that's not an issue. And so far in our limited experience, Aiden has not had any performance issues, which is a miracle.
Yeah.
Based on our experience and what we've now read and understand, that it is like, 50 to 80% of the time, mm-hmm. that it is an issue. So if you're in this lifestyle, you're new to it, and then you're running across that, ladies, it's not you. That's what I thought. I was like, I just guess they're not attracted to me. That's not it at all.
Yeah, and I knew that was absolutely wrong at the time. I was like, it's not that you're not attractive. There's a reason they're not getting it up, and it has zero to do with you. And we know now that's correct. There's so many other things at play. But when we were first stepping, that was the first night
we had no clue.
And we thought, this has got to be an anomaly. We couldn't believe that you'd be in the lifestyle and that could happen. But it does, and that's okay.
And so, it makes sense. We're older now. The last time I had sex with anybody really besides my ex-husband was in my 20s, right? So I've never actually seen a man have that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, of course, more common the older you get. We get low testosterone, all kinds of other things. And of course, if they're drinking or smoking pot beforehand, those definitely affect it. So anyway, wanted to clarify that for everybody.
Thank you.
Yes, you are so welcome. And if we do have issues, we'll let you know, because that's part of this, because it really is super common. And we'll do a whole episode on ways to deal with it soon. But we wanted to jump in and take a break from the chronological episodes and talk about some just friends that we've been talking to lately who have been having issues in their monogamous marriages. And it seems like we're in our 50s. Our friends are mostly 40s, 50s, some 30s. They're surrounded by these couples in monogamous marriages that are not going well at all. Virtually all of them,
it does feel like that.
Except for our friends who are in the lifestyle or doing ethical non-monogamy. Those seem to be the really strong marriages. So I'll let you take it over from here.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there are, feels like a majority of people that we know who have gone through the whole escalator and got married, had kids, built a career, and then they get to their 40s and they're like, is that all there is? We talked about this earlier. And then the resentments that have built up over years start to really creep up, especially as the kids get older and get out of the house. And so I think a lot of people who see their kids graduating high school start to wonder, what am I going to do with this person? Now that my reason for being, my children in many cases, are no longer going to be a focus. I think it prompts people to rethink how they're showing up in the relationship, what they want, what they need out of life. And this is all in the monogamous territory that I'm really describing. And I think everybody listening to this who's of age would understand this. They know that what happens, and it happened to both of us in our marriages. Yeah, very common. We see the lifestyle as a really good hack for that and a really good antidote and a way to reinvigorate things as the kids get older and leave the house and reinvigorate their connection and their relationships. And so I guess this came up because I was at a sort of a mastermind group today, business group. And I have several business friends in there, and we often share what's happening in our relationships. And down to the last one, they all were complaining about things in their relationships that they weren't happy with, some much more unhappy than others. You have your own group.
Yeah.
And you have the similar experiences with them, right?
Definitely, yeah.
And the issues seem to center around vaguely dissatisfied or unhappy about their spouse, about what they're doing with their lives, and blaming their spouse for their own internal limitations, the things that they haven't really said, the things that they missed out on, they think, in their lives. And so it's a sad state of affairs in many marriages. And I remember thinking, as one of my friends was sharing their story, she was just like, I'm 55 and I'm just done. I don't want to be with him. We're good friends and we do fun things together, but he's like a friend. I'm not sexually attracted to him. I don't want to spend time with him at the house. I'd love to travel with him. And then the others chimed in and said, yeah, we like to travel with ours too. Like, our spouses are great when we travel and they're out of the house and the demands of the home. And most of these have at least teenage kids, which is understandable, right? You're home. It's not always fun because you're trying to get everything managed and you're driving kids everywhere and you're cooking and you're doing all the things. And that can certainly put a damper on any relationship. But when it gets to the point when you're in the 40s and 50s, it starts to really become apparent that, to me, my opinion, that the monogamous situation for them isn't working out. My first suggestion I did not suggest was maybe you should open up.
That I did not suggest.
But it did pop in my head that maybe they should open up. Someone asked, do you even care if you went out and slept with another woman? She's, nope, I really wouldn't care. I'd go find a girlfriend, was her answer. So they're already past that point of really, sounds like she's giving up on it a little bit. And I think someone else in the group asked, what do you think about E&M? And she didn't even know what it was. With someone like that, it could really help because she could literally suggest it. He might be all for it. And if they got to the point where they could start participating in the lifestyle, she would be fine with him, apparently. Yeah. Like, maybe she doesn't know yet, but she would be fine with him, apparently, going out on dates. And that would give her more time by herself. And it seemed like she was telling me a polyamorous situation for her would work out great. Mm-hmm. Because she just, and I don't know if that would include the relationship getting stronger over time or if it would prompt that. But it seemed like a pretty good solution for what's such a common problem in relationships. So that was just my thoughts of the day. And others chimed in with various levels of dissatisfaction. Some are in business together with their spouses. Others, just one of them's getting really, I guess, depressed over time and they aren't really able to connect. All those things. I don't know that lifestyle suggestion would help any of those, but there are those that you're like, wow, this could be easy and you might not have to blow up your whole family and blow up your whole life to achieve some sort of peace or contentment with your life.
Especially if there's a friendship there still, which it sounds like there is.
Yeah, they were very, and I told her myself, I said, you have a lot in common with each other. You like to play tennis, you like to go out, you like to go on vacation together, you like to ski, all these great things. You found someone, that's a pretty rich relationship when you have a companion like likes to do the same things. It's hard to find people. I don't like to play tennis. And if it were me, I'd be like, no, go play tennis on your own.
I'm
going to
go find a tennis partner.
You just hold out, honey. That's right. You play tennis, don't you?
I do.
That's right.
I'm going to ask our new guy if he plays.
Yeah, you do that. But yeah, I think, so there's a lot to salvage in that. And she cares about her family. She cares about not going through what you and I went through.
Yeah.
I was in the same group as I went through my divorce, and they see how ugly it can get. And
opening up wouldn't have worked for either of our marriages.
No,
so we're not saying it's the panacea for everybody.
But at least in their case, with her,
yes,
it would work.
It would. It
now, with
like
him,
it
would it work? It sounds to me like it might, based on what she was telling me. He's not satisfied with their sex life. And in that, for that, at least one individual, it seems if she were educated on this and were listening to these podcasts and really considering the pros and cons, the pros far outweigh the cons. What are the cons? The cons are... I don't know. What are the kind of that situation?
I don't know. Look, I think that it never hurts to start a conversation with your partner, especially when things have gotten so dull and you feel like you know everything about each other and you've lost appreciation for each other. When you were talking, I was looking up the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse from John Gottman, but it sounded like everybody in that group and a lot of my friends too are dealing with these four sort of harbingers of a relationship ending. The first is criticism, right? You always do this.
You never do that.
You never do that. Contempt, right? Verbal abuse. No opportunity for joining and resolution. Stonewalling, hiding, are you mad at me? Tuning out, ignoring, or sometimes fear-based shutting down. Defensiveness is a type of blame. It's all your fault. Defensiveness escalates conflict and deflects shared responsibility.
So what are the four horsemen, though?
The four horsemen are defensiveness, stonewalling, contempt, and criticism. And one of the things, I think it was Gottman that talked about, one of the main body language signals that they learned by observing different couples interact in a lab, the biggest predictor they found of a marriage failing was eye rolling,
yeah,
that contempt. And it sounded like, you didn't even tell me if there was eye rolling, but it sounded like there was a lot of internal,
oh, she rolls her eyes a lot about
internal
him.
Eye yeah. rolling happening.
No, it's external too.
Yeah. And yeah, that's, I can see that. I can definitely see that. But it's so outside the realm of possibility. I was going to ask, you had somebody ask her if she'd considered E&M and she didn't know what it was. Did he explain what it was very well?
He started to, and I think somebody started talking about something else. But I think it was one of those, yeah, no, I haven't really considered that and move on. It's extreme and without any real context.
Yeah, it does. It does. It sounds completely crazy until you're doing it and then you're like, oh, wait, this is the most sane thing in the world. And it's so natural. And it just, yeah, it allows each person to be themselves. I think there's just this, I've said this before, this assumption that you're supposed to be one, to become one. And it really ends up being a lot of codependence where your happiness depends on their happiness and there's no individuation. And part of the chemistry that we really enjoy is that we can be apart and have our own lives. And then we come together by choice because we're just always wanting to be together. But there's never a feeling from either one of us that there's expectation or obligation. It's like we move toward each other. There's not a push-pull or like, mm-hmm. you have to, or why didn't you do this? Mm-hmm. You should be doing this.
Mm-hmm. And that's really the marker of many relationships. Like
yes.
the expectations was our thing in my ex's, in my relationship
Same.
With my ex, which was you need to be doing, you have a duty. And so I'm duty bound. I'm just that guy. I like doing things. If I have something in my duty, I'll do it. And so she set up all sorts of duties that were expected of me. And then when I didn't perform, she was able to manipulate me or
criticize, blame,
condemn.
Yeah,
that's critical, right? You're not doing what you should do is a critical thing,
uh-huh.
right? So yeah, very destructive to a relationship. And if you've got a lot of criticism going on either of your of yourself or from yourself, that's something to think about. Is I'm criticizing, but that's a very harmful thing. To criticize a person you're with, and you may not even realize you're doing it, but receiving criticism is not easy. And some people have learned over the years, and I just brush that off, but it does hit.
Yeah.
And little by little over time.
Especially when it predominates over the kind remarks. I think it's, what is it, like you need 5 positive interactions to negate 1 negative one. And so I think these couples often get into a habit. But here's the irony of it, right? Like I knew all of those things and I tried to do in my marriage that was really not healthy. I tried to do all the things. I tried to connect. I tried all positive interactions. I didn't react negatively to anything he said, no matter how cruel he was to me. And it didn't help, right?
Yeah.
So if you're not with the right partner,
yeah,
you got to just get out.
Yeah.
Especially if there's abuse going on, like mental, emotional, psychological, physical, any of it. But if you're with the right person and you have a good friendship, and you both really care, mm-hmm. making little changes like that can bring you back from the brink.
I think one of the things someone offered was, if you change how you approach him, maybe he'll in turn change without even really knowing it.
Yeah.
Because if you're being treated differently, first of all, you'd notice it. And the contempt that you might have, or the defensiveness or the responses might just wither away because you're not getting that attack, if you will.
Yeah. And there's this sort of method of dealing with people that we learned from, gosh, I'm blanking on her name, but she's a really famous author and speaker. And she has a whole Instagram post and probably more content on this idea of let them.
Mm-hmm.
And
we
I think there's,
that. We discovered
we
that last
love
year.
It. And yeah. it's just amazing. The idea of let them is to let go of controlling the people in your lives, right? We can't do it anyway. All we can control is ourselves. And when people talk about boundaries, they often think of it as making people do what you want them to do. Boundaries are not that. Boundaries are saying what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do, and then seeing how people respond, and then you act accordingly. It's about how you will react, right? So say, I didn't like that you were, I don't know.
You can't come
I
up with
don't
something.
know.
I
I
love
can't think of anything. So say
it.
I should have done this in my marriage, but I didn't. It got so bad. We eventually just separated and got divorced. But what I would have loved to have said was, hey, if you don't stop drinking, I'm going to leave the marriage, right? And then I will wait to see what he does. And if he doesn't stop drinking, I don't then yell at him and say, you didn't stop drinking. I'm going to leave, and continue to threaten and berate him. I simply say, I'm going to leave the marriage. Best of luck. That's what you then you follow through. That's what that is. So anyway, let them is more about letting other people be themselves. And think about it, how it would be if you were with somebody, whether it, you probably have a friend or a loved one who operates with that philosophy, and it feels so relaxing to be around them because you just feel like you can be yourself and they love you no matter what. And whatever it is, they're okay with it. They understand. They're able to put themselves in your shoes. They know you're doing the best you can. They give you the benefit of the doubt. Let them. But I have a really hard time with parents. I have a specific parent who gets really upset when we don't spend time with her and will guilt trip us about it. And it really makes us want to spend time with her even less, right? And so this happens to me as a parent where I have teenagers and they sometimes don't want to hang out with me, which I totally get and is totally normal and natural. They want to see their friends. And what I found, or they want to spend time with their dad and his wife, right? He's stopped drinking now. Things are getting better over there. Instead of me saying, poor me, why aren't you spending time with me? I guess I'll be okay, you know, making it this big thing, guilt
Guilt.
tripping them. I say, that sounds wonderful. Well, have fun. Let me know when, you know, when you're back. I'd love to hang out. Let them, especially if you've grown as adult children, let them take care of themselves, let them make choices. But same with partners. And the good thing is, if you've chosen a good partner, a good person, this is really easy to do. It's really easy to do. Let them with you because you're a fucking good person. You're not a narcissist. You're not a sociopath. Let them just means you be your awesome self that I already love and think is great. And I get to see more of that. And I get to see you happy and thriving. And that's
Yeah, and
fantastic.
it really works. And I would take the philosophy even down to a much more granular daily level
Yeah.
to work,
Yeah.
to people who disappoint you, people you try to help who will never take your advice.
Yeah.
And we got lots of those. And me trying, part of my personality is I want to control the context so that I don't know if I can get what I want or that they'll listen to me or what have you.
You just
But
love people and want to, you literally want to see people do
right, and
good
I
and
get
feel
mad when they
better.
don't.
All
You need to listen to
you
me.
need to do is the three steps.
So I let them. Or one of my siblings is, she's the kind of person that you'll ask her to do something and then she'll say she has to travel or maybe she doesn't want to spend time. And it's just hard to, and so you start to think, I need to get her to spend more time with me. I need to convince her that she should spend time. This is just an example. And I've turned into let her do her thing and I'll still show her that I'm interested in seeing her and let them. And it applies to kids a lot, like you'd mentioned. And I don't know, it's just a great philosophy. It takes the urge to control off, which is good for the other person. It also takes responsibility of someone else's happiness or their actions or what's good for them. It takes that off of my plate. I've got enough on my plate, and I don't need to
Exactly.
worry about everybody else's plate.
That's healthy.
Yeah, it is. And let them get some off the hook, and in many cases, they'll be much more responsive.
Much more responsive. I know I'm more responsive
You
when
definitely
my
are.
friends are. Yeah, I hate when people, I feel like people are like disappointed in me or I'm making people feel bad by my choices. Like the best response if I'm like running late or I can't do something is, no problem, we'll see you when you get here. Like it calms me down so much. I love that. So I try to do that for other people. But if it's like, hurry up or whatever, then I have an anxiety attack about it. I'm probably even later. And then I like run the car into something because I'm stressed
Yeah.
out.
It was a good philosophy with you in our relationship for me to just let you be you. And I remember in the beginning, I realized very early on you don't like to be rushed. And it's your when I would rush you, you would get more anxiety and more stress out of it. And so you would snap back, don't rush me because I want to be on time. I want to be perfect, but I've got all these things happening. And I learned that very early on. And at a very early point, I thought, well, just let her be. When I'd ask you to come over, if you were late, it just, well, let them. She's going to be here eventually. So
You're so
it's like
sweet.
almost a way to help yourself that you're allowing people to be them. You're allowing them to do what they do. And if they don't show up for 3 hours, I had other things to do.
Yeah.
It's sometimes hard to get that point, especially if you have a tendency to manage people. And a lot of people have a problem managing other people because you get less disappointment, you get less frustrated, you have less cortisol running through your veins because you're allowing people to just be, and that allows yourself to just be.
Yeah.
So I just love that philosophy. Try to live it.
It's really, it can be hard at first, but it really is fantastic. And I feel like it does bring more people to you. It allows them to feel comfortable being themselves, their imperfect selves, and know they're going to be loved and accepted, right? And if there's some kind of issue, right, if I was 3 hours late and you had something planned and whatever, then you just go to your plans. Hey, that's such a bummer. I've got something planned. I had to leave, whatever. That I would have to totally accept that, and I would, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Like, you just continue on with your life. Like, there are consequences, right? And
you consequences don't, that maybe they don't get an invitation anymore.
May not get an invitation next time if they're chronically later no showing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's,
it's not punitive. It's like, I've got other things going on.
I got other things going on.
And what I noticed out of that is you were a little bit late occasionally, and it wasn't that big. I'm a very prompt person.
Yeah.
And since then, you're pretty much a prompt person because you're.
And when did that start happening?
When you found more peace in your life?
When I quit my job, started working from home for myself, when I moved over here right next to you, and when my kids started driving.
True.
That literally made my life so much saner, all of those things.
So it's not from let them, it's from your circumstances more.
I literally was so overbooked and so overwhelmed emotionally, and I was in the middle of divorce, right? So I was emotionally just fried. And then on top of that, working so many hours a week, driving kids around. And then we lived far apart.
Mm-hmm.
So just, it was like, and I wasn't getting enough sleep. Everything was a mess. So yeah, it was hard for me to be on time. I love being on time. I always want to see you. I want to be early with you.
Yes. And you are often. speaking of divorce, I went through a particularly rough one. And it was a 3-year debacle. In the last year, I started to take on the let them philosophy in the divorce, which is really hard to do because it's extremely triggering. And it's just, there's so many emotions. And I tried to manage my divorce like it was a business. It is not a business. It is a insanity. But the lawyers are after you all the time. And at some point, you're just like, let them, what's going to happen to me? They can't eat me. They can't throw me in jail.
Yeah.
And so it was helpful, even in the worst of circumstances, to just, okay, that's what it is. It's an acceptance is really what it is.
It is.
It's accepting, radical acceptance of whatever the situation is, whoever the person is, and just being fine with it. And that just takes so much stress off you.
Yeah.
Off yourself.
Yeah. And if it's somebody who's, you know, you eventually don't want in your life anymore, right? You can start moving your positive energies elsewhere, and you can just wish them well, right? Because it really does take up a lot of mental space when you're really sucked into other people's behavior or controlling them. That's, you know, you can't ultimately. So maybe it's time to put your efforts elsewhere. I have that with my siblings. I can always predict that they will cancel at the last minute, and they do. But I know they love me, and I know them. I know how we grew up. I know we've all got a lot of stress, and I don't feel like it has anything to do with me. It is simply probably some kind of social anxiety, which I totally get the way we grew up. It's really funny. We were talking about rushing. I saw something recently. It was like, whether kids have anxiety growing up is a lot dependent on how much they were rushed as kids.
Oh, interesting.
And I feel like with 4 kids, we were constantly rushing. And then on top of that, my mom yelling and screaming. We called her being on a rampage, us all piling in the backseat of the car, the way, way back, so we could be far away from her and her just driving like a bat out of hell down the highway. It was really stressful in that household. And so I think we all have a little bit of PTSD from that. Just, we're a little bit jumpy, and I've worked a lot on it. I'm much more chill than I was then. But just realizing my nervous system can be okay. So I get like where my siblings need that time to themselves. They need the peace. And sometimes social interactions, even with safe people like me, can seem like maybe no, right? And that's okay. For whatever reason, they don't even need to give me a reason. I just love them. And it always works out, and we see each other eventually, and they're fantastic humans. But it's just one of those things you don't, with my siblings, I know what's going on. But with other people you don't know as well, you may not know. So it may be harder to let them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but you have to just imagine. And I do this when I'm driving too. My kids are always mad at me for not honking at people when they drive poorly. But I'm like, here's a little lesson that you can help you drive more safely, because we live in a place where people have guns and they might have them in their car with road rage. And also just to feel not so angry about these things. Like, try to imagine, just as a creative solution, who the person is in the car and why they might have made the mistake they made, right? Maybe they had a terrible day. Maybe that's a little lady on her very last drive before she's being put in a nursing home, right? Whatever it is. And then when I was teaching my son to drive, he messed up on the highway and somebody honked at him, and it just gave him he jumped in his seat, and we had to pull over until we calmed down and felt better. And I said, that is why I don't honk at people. You were doing the best you could. You're a new driver. You made a mistake. It didn't hurt anybody. That person was just, they were probably having their own bad day. And he was like, oh my gosh, you're so right. I'm like, yeah.
That's interesting, because there's a great story in Stephen Covey's book, Five Habits of Highly Successful People.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the stories was how I think he was on a subway car and just trying to chill and relax. And there were this couple with some kids that were just running around and just being crazy. And it was just really annoying him. And he finally said something to the dad. He said, hey, listen, could your kids calm down a little bit? And he's like, look, I'm really sorry. We're just coming back from the grandmother's funeral and things are a little bit odd right now. So he had no idea what was in that person's mind, what they've been going through that day. And that there's a sort of a forgiveness, acceptance, and awareness aspect of that that I think really important just in the human condition, right?
Yeah.
To just understand people are going through their own stuff. And this applies to experiences we had in lifestyle, just trying to meet with people, the rejection. You don't know why someone may not want to be with you or may not want to meet with you. There is a rejection aspect to lifestyle we'll get into at some point. But it's not quite the same as when you're single or when you're younger. It's more like, okay.
It's easier.
It's a lot easier.
Because you're doing it with your partner, so you can laugh about it. Was it you or was it me? Or was it both of us? No.
It's hardly ever you. But anyway.
Well, I don't know. Who's rejected us?
That's just people don't want to meet up. And it's not just us.
Oh, flaky people.
Yeah, I'm just saying in general.
Yeah.
There's lots of things that happen that you don't understand why.
Yeah.
And it would be really easy to look inward and say, what is it about me that they don't like? Or why didn't this work out? And a lot of that's just okay, they can't come to dinner and we'll see them in 3 months. We have that going on with this one couple where it's really hard to get with them. And we just have to be okay, whatever.
All right, we got another one.
Yeah, there's plenty out there. And so it's just, it really applies to everything. I'm just applying it to lifestyle because that's what we're talking about here. But everything in life, if you can get to a let them stage, you'll just be more content.
Definitely. And I think if you're having issues, the let them theory can naturally roll into talking about opening up a marriage that may be stagnating. Because it can be, openness can be a lot of things, right? It can be let your spouse or partner go on a trip by themselves for a while. Maybe you need that space by yourself. It could be sleeping with other people, but it doesn't have to be. It could just be letting each other. What are your hopes and dreams? What is your bucket list? What are the things you feel like you're missing out on? Go do those things, right? With or without me. And I will be here for you when you get back. And sometimes that kind of freedom, just getting some extra freedom and being able to feel like an individual again, I think is so critical. We got that naturally with divorce, but if that's not necessary, you can find it. You can still find that.
Yeah, I think it was necessary in both of our cases. And it is necessary with people who are dealing with mental instability or abuse and all the things you mentioned before. But
yeah, I'm trying to think of what specifically I've heard friends talk about in these marriages. I think the number one thing I hear from female friends is just a total and utter lack of interest in sex with their partner.
That's what I heard today from my friend.
Yeah, especially in the 40s and 50s. And a lot of that, what I do in the healthcare sector is due to loss of hormones and perimenopause and menopause that's being unaddressed by the conventional medical system, which is unfair. They're instead being put on antidepressants, which makes libido worse and all kinds of other things. So that's not helping. For men, it could be low testosterone is falling, and that happens in andropause. A lot of men don't realize it's happening, and it's so slow and not such a precipitous loss as women deal with when our hormones start to decline. But there can be all kinds of reasons for these issues that are not just relational. It could be a toxic relationship, but a lot of times it can be health related, right? So getting therapy can help, but also this is a lot of time for people. This is the time in their life when they start to look and say, my health is not where I want it. And that can really impact your mental health, your libido, your relationships, your ability to do things in life that you want to do, right? Mm-hmm. If you're feeling exhausted all the time, you're not sleeping, you have no libido, you don't feel like yourself. And get a good practitioner and figure that out, because that can help a lot. You want to be at your physical and mental best, so you're bringing that to the relationship. And then
I think a practitioner would be in the functional health space.
Absolutely.
Not in the conventional space necessarily. There are very few good MDs that really understand functional health and how to optimize your endocrine system, your metabolism, your diet, all those things.
Hormones.
Usually it's, you go see your doctor and tell him you're depressed, he's going to give you a pill.
Yeah, he'll give you an SSRI.
Yeah. And then you've got this problem, so I'm going to give you this other pill to counteract the symptoms of that problem. And it's a slippery slope, and it's unhealthy, and it's pharmacological based. And you can do it without that, with the functional medicine approach to life. And we'll talk much more about that.
We will. Yeah. And look, we will say up front, we are not doctors or healthcare practitioners, but we do have personal experience with these issues. And I do work in healthcare. We can always give you our personal experience and that of our friends and different things that have worked. And we'll do that eventually. Okay. So lack of interest in sex, lack of libido, resentment, desire for time alone. You can also, even if you don't want to open up your marriage, you can say, why don't we try things like you're traveling separately, sleeping in separate rooms.
Well, that's the end of the marriage, isn't it?
No, it's not. That's what people say, but it's not. It builds, like, you have to sometimes get some separation from each other to reappreciate who that person is, and also to get to know yourself again so that you can share that with your partner.
Because it depends on the health of your marriage, because I know towards the end of my marriage, we were in separate rooms, and that I loved it. It was just
that's
like,
so true.
I didn't have to deal with her stuff. And I don't know how much we could, unless we were still in it.
Yeah.
I don't know how much we could repair that. Because once you're in separate rooms and your marriage is failing.
Yeah.
I think there's statistics on that. That's the end of it. But if you're pretty good and you're doing it for health reasons, sleep reasons, and you still come together.
Yeah.
Which could be even sexier because you're not normally in the same room and the familiarity is a little less.
Like we do spend the night sometimes, but it has, like, where
you
sleep.
You won't let me.
Where you sleep? No. I want you to sleep here. I'm just
Yeah, that's right. You won't sleep at my house.
I know. I was so bad.
She has to have all her stuff and all of her routines.
I guarantee you there's zero correlation between the bed you sleep in and how much sex you're having and how good your relationship is. So
when you're fairly solid.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. If you're at the death throes of a relationship, separate rooms is just the next step to leave.
It probably is, because you're just like, all right, I'm done with this. Any other specific issues that you've heard from your friends who are dealing with marriage issues, like just pitfalls that their people are falling into?
It's just so common that you just get to a point where you're like, what else is there? What am I doing? What did I work all my life for? What's the end game here? A lot of people never think about it. And so they do the job, kids go to college, they buy a retirement home somewhere. Play golf, right?
They get super unhealthy.
Yeah. So that's not the kind of life we want to live. And I remember as a child seeing that, what they call the escalator, this is what you're supposed to do your whole life. I remember being really repelled by it. I don't want to do that. I don't get the mortgage and do it. It was just counter to my personality to really do that. But I ended up doing it. I ended up doing all the things I was supposed to do.
Same here.
And it wasn't me. But now with
it feels like there's no choice when you're young like that. And even if you think, I didn't ever want kids, and I was very on the fence about marriage because of what I saw in my own parents' marriage, and being the oldest of four kids, I was like, wow, that's seems like a lot of work.
And that's really common these days with millennial aged people and younger. They're just saying, well, was that? I don't want that. That doesn't.
Yeah,
my parents didn't have fun.
They're taking a pass on that.
Yeah, and they're interesting for them. They've just got a lot more information at their fingertips, and they've seen the results of what their parents have gone through in this Gen X generation and the boomers too. And they're like, I want something different than that. Unfortunately, it leads to a lot of other issues in your life. Maybe loneliness to start, but maybe it's more not really having a purpose in life. I think kids certainly bring that.
I disagree. I think people, really single people out there, childless people, talk a lot about how much purpose they have.
I'm just saying, for a lot of people, that's very possible that they don't have that purpose, and so they end up in their 30s and 40s also
if they don't ever if they don't have another purpose,
because they've put off the marriage because because it has been such a an example that was not good for them. So it just depends, right? And we're generalizing a lot here. But I think the core thing here is that we always come back to being authentic, being who you are. And if you could find that in your relationship, go for it, because it's just so much easier to live life like that. And not really just conform to the expectations of others, which is what a lot of people get trapped in, including both of us.
Break it down, rebuild it the way you want it.
I like that.
Okay,
let's talk about fun lifestyle stuff.
Okay, what else? All right.
We were talking last night about Mr. Smart and Amazonian couple.
I don't know if that was last night or the night before.
Okay, one of the last episodes.
That's okay, all right,
And what was it? Summarize that story for me, and then we'll just say what happened today. Nothing really happened, but...
So they were at our party on Saturday night, which is a few days ago now. They are super fun and very attractive, and he is one of the two guys that in our whole group that I'm attracted to, so that's super exciting for me, because I just... I'm not attracted to a lot of people. And so I kissed him once a few weeks before at another lifestyle event, and he was a good kisser, so that was awesome. He was the guy that I was not attracted to at first, even though he's conventionally very good looking. And then I found out he was smart. And then I was like, yeah, now I like you. So that was exciting, because I just, you know, I want to participate in this lifestyle. I just am not attracted to everybody. At our party, we ended up kissing again. And then we ended up on this. I think I told this story already.
You did.
Yeah.
So catch people up.
Yeah. Okay. So we ended up on this like ottoman, and we were making out. And then you came over. You had been kissing his partner. And then you came over and started kissing me, and then he started fingering me, and it was awesome. And then you said, do we need to get a room? Because I had said I didn't want to have sex in front of, in with the whole group of the sort of orgy that was going on.
That was a rule you made early on.
It was a rule
I made. I don't want to be doing it in front of everybody.
Before the party.
And then
and, but of course
get two fingers in her. And,
and I changed my mind. I changed my mind. I was like, I really like that.
Then I stopped. They stopped. But I stopped it, because I'm like, shouldn't we have a room now? Because I remember you saying earlier you didn't want to do this publicly. And you're like, what? What are you talking about?
I was like, shut up.
And then it blew the opportunity up right there.
Yeah, so we don't play separately. When she had gone off and she was doing something else, so we were like, all right. So we didn't do that, but left me very aroused. And so you and I went to the back bedroom and had amazing monkey sex. Anyway, so this couple, so she is interested in women as well, but I'm not. So we didn't know if that was going to be a fit, right? Because we didn't know if they preferred couples where the woman is bisexual, right? We totally understand.
We thought maybe she only wanted that.
Yeah.
I think she does want that very much with you even. We knew that until she tested it with the three-way kiss that went nowhere.
Yeah, I know.
So,
I just wasn't feeling it.
So the question was, would they still... We thought it was, okay, I guess we'll never be with them, because it just doesn't match up with what they want.
That happens, you guys, and that's fine. Everyone's so different.
Yeah. So we were ready to move on and all that. A little disappointed. Today, she reached out to you directly.
She reached out to me. Yes, she sent me a message. It was so nice. She says, hey, I talked to my partner, and we'd love to do parallel play with you guys, which is basically like exactly what I'm into, which is be like, I'm with her partner and she's with Aiden. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for reaching out. And that sounds awesome. We would love that. And then we moved to our four-way chat, and we've been just working on dates, and it's completely
surprised.
So now
we know what's happening.
I know. So we're super excited. And even better, it sounds like we're going to have a day date, because we all have plans to go to a concert that night, which we're all going to go together. So I suggest a day date, because you all know I like to go to bed early and I like brunch and play. And if you haven't, go back and listen to the previous episodes where we talked about setting up our profile and how I like to have an early afternoon play date and then eat afterwards.
Yeah. And better system.
It's a much better system. Empty stomach, nobody's drunk, everything works on everybody. It's wonderful. So
now we have it set.
So I think we're kind of good.
But I was a little bit, I'm not as excited about you as you are about this one.
Yeah, you've never been, y'all, and I gotta tell you, this woman is knocked down, drag out, gorgeous. She's like 20 years younger than me, rockin' bod, absolutely perfect skin, absolutely sick, gorgeous. So
everyone there at the party would have been, they would have thought I was an idiot to not take that up.
100%.
But we hadn't connected. I don't know her. She seems nice.
Yeah.
And I'm figuring out how much more important it is for me to connect.
Yeah.
She's also not quite the body type I typically look for. I look for more petite women. She's very tall, and so I'm not used to that. That's fine. I'm open.
I'm like, I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah, I think it might be fine. But there's a little a part of me is, again, it's happening. We're going to do this. It's going to be great. And I'm looking forward to it.
It doesn't have to.
No, it's happening. I'm down. This is all just me sharing little things in the back of my head that don't really matter in the end.
No, but it's great. I love hearing it.
Yeah, that's why I'm sharing it, because it is interesting, because I want to share my thought process through all these things, whether or not they're valid, whether or not they're very powerful. But it's interesting to know what goes through your head in these situations. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it, but I told you earlier tonight, what if I'm starting to go through the what if I can't perform? There's anxiety that might come up with me that I want to make sure everybody has a great experience, and how deathly embarrassed I would be if things weren't working, or if you guys were getting on and we weren't, and that's just all part of the lifestyle. That's it just, even if that happened, either I weren't able to perform or satisfy her or be the kind of person she wants me to be in bed, it's there. And that's just, I guess it's an indicator of just the anxiety that comes around with a lot of lifestyle stuff. There is there's a sexual energy for sure.
Yeah.
And there's an uncertainty. That's what is so attractive about it. There's, oh, this thing might not happen. This thing might happen. Oh, I'm really excited about it. Or I'm angsty about it. And so that's all good and fine and normal. And so I think that's the lesson for me is if we knocked it out of the park and it's great, it's another great experience. And if we don't, it's another fucking opportunity to learn. So anyway, that was just my comment on that. But they're fantastic.
They are. The good news is, in our experiences so far, not once have you had a performance issue. So we have that. Your track record is perfect. Now,
I'm fine with all this. I've not had a problem. I don't expect to, but there's still...
No joke. And especially, I think it probably wasn't even in your mind until we saw other guys having the issue and then realizing how common it is and being like...
That's probably true.
Now I'm in my head. If it's literally happening to everybody except me, I guess it's bound to happen to me eventually. Right.
That's what I said yesterday.
Then you get in your head.
I said yesterday on the previous podcast at the very end, I said, someday it will happen to me. And that's not the right attitude to go into it with.
You're probably right.
Yeah, it could. And I have to be okay with that. I have to be okay with, hey, it might happen. And I'll just say, fine, that just happens.
And the other good news is that when you were kissing her, you got hard.
I did, yes. I may be full of shit.
No, I think there's a lot of hope. Plus, we have our medicines, our backup
medicines,
which literally, I think, a lot of guys in lifestyle use, even if they don't really need them, just as.
Oh, I'll definitely be doing
it's
that.
It's like almost a mental, to just know that you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, for sure.
And it could have been fine probably anyway, and you've always been fine without it, but...
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that because I want to show what goes through even guys' heads when they're in this. Yeah. It's not all just like, buzzy, and I'm just getting... That's how I thought it was when we were getting in. I was like, oh, yeah, of course, you're always going to perform because you're with a new person, and...
Yeah.
And then we had those few experiences where they didn't, and you're like, wait a minute, what's going on? And you start reading about it, and you hear the 50% stat that it happens to 50% in 50% of experiences, not 50% of men.
Yeah.
And you do get in your head a little bit about it just because you want to be that stud. You want to be that guy who's going to please all the ladies. Not worried, but it's just good to share those things because it's real.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm a pretty confident person. And I can imagine if I got into this not being confident about my body, about how I look, about how I fuck, about my dick, all those kinds of things, it could get in your head. What I found is What I found is that it's really common to have those feelings, but you learn from them and you grow into that comfort. And once you start to realize that it's okay, whatever the outcomes is okay, no one's going to shame you, no one's going to laugh, it's that kind of stuff, then you can feel much more confident coming in. So,
yeah.
How about on the ladies' side on that?
I think...
Because you had mentioned that you had these experiences and you thought it was you.
I did.
Which was ridiculous.
And I feel so bad. I think that's probably one of the reasons people don't want to hook up with newbies, honestly. Because, I was... Yeah, I...
Some people love to hook up with newbies.
I guess so. I don't know. But, if you've never experienced that before, I think I did a pretty good job of not showing him that I was disappointed.
Oh, you faked it really well.
Yeah. Which is the worst thing you can do, right? Just shame anybody or whatever. But yeah.
So it's the worst thing you can do to shame them or the worst thing you can do to fake it?
Oh, no, to shame them.
To shame. Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah. I think, I don't know. I don't want to fake it, but I also don't want, I'm not going to show somebody that I'm horrified or something or just super disappointed. You're just going to be a nice person, right?
Hey, I think it's like we talked about last night or last time. I keep saying last night, but we've done so many of these episodes. I don't know which.
Yeah.
The idea is to politely redirect. Like, I was right there, and you could have said, let's go do this, or let's just watch them.
Yeah.
Or let me go kiss him for a minute. Like, you can get out of these things without really hurting the other person's feelings.
I'm going to go get some water.
Yeah,
I'm going to go to the bathroom.
But getting out of it was important to you.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I think where maybe you were learning.
Because I was done, and I was feeling, like, icky, and then just having to watch you guys finish, like, yeah. It was like, and you were doing great. And so I was just like, I just didn't know. I don't know. I'd never done it before. And I didn't know how you're supposed to feel. And I was like, it wasn't when things don't meet your expectations. So you think it's not turning out how you envisioned in your mind, mm-hmm. which it never does in the lifestyle, actually.
Does, yeah.
So you have to get used to that. I just didn't know what to do with myself. And I felt really awkward. But it worked out. And now we look back and we're still really good friends with this couple. And like, ooh. They're amazing. And I've learned a ton. And they were so lovely. We learned a lot. But yeah, I think from my side, yeah, realizing that it's not that they don't find me attractive.
Which again, patently ridiculous.
No, you yeah. just...
There's no way, especially from what I was watching, like I was way into you, but there's... to me, there's no way a man could be with you and not be totally excited about it, but that's...
maybe
you
love just, me.
Well, it's also me. Facts, but...
Oh, baby, you're so sweet. But I think anxiety for me comes from being with somebody new, not knowing what they like, being in my head about experiencing my own pleasure. If I like something, am I showing it too much? Am I seeming like a slut to the guy? I know it sounds insane. Am I making the other woman jealous? Am I making you feel jealous? So I really want to, if I can, just let my mind go clear and just enjoy my time with this person. And if I enjoy it, allow myself to and not worry about anybody else and just be like I am, like I'm with you. I just let go and I really enjoy myself. I don't know if I can totally do that with somebody else, but to the extent that I can try and just clear my mind, I think things will go much better. And then I will say on the performance issue for women, as we get older and our estrogen starts to fall, we start to get drier down there. And I haven't really had much of an issue with that yet, but I also am replacing all my hormones. So I think that's probably helpful. But I do sometimes worry about that. Is that going to become an issue? Like I'm aroused, but I'm not wet. Like we're supposed to be like wet all the time, but not too wet because then you can't feel it and there's no friction. So it's, like, it's very confusing, difficult. That's on my mind on the horizon as I get in more into my 50s and see if and when I go through menopause, which just doesn't seem to, periods do not seem to be going away. But
which is great.
It's so great. I'm so lucky. But yeah, we think about that. I always worry about my breath. Like I bring my toothbrush everywhere. So I just want to feel confident, deodorant. I would just say for guys, just feeling confident with your body. And I think just the not eating and drinking alcohol beforehand helps so much because you just don't feel like everything's sloshing around. It's just really nice. And then make sure you take a shower, put on deodorant, keep everything trimmed up, brush your teeth, use mouthwash, all the things. And then that helps me feel confident.
Mm-hmm. I think with guys, like definitely showering and scrubbing your pits before. Wash your ass.
With soap.
With soap and Manscaped.
Yes.
For sure.
That was one of my things on my list. I made an 88-point list of things I wanted in a partner after I got a divorce. And one of them was must Manscaped.
If wants oral. I like that whole sentence. Must Manscaped if wants oral.
I was like,
that's
it was
great. Yeah, and I think when we met, you saw the Manscaped, and I think you complimented me. You're like, oh, I really like that you...
And I have been enjoying giving you oral ever since.
Yeah, and I got the oral for it. So guys, heads up, must Manscaped if wants oral.
It makes it a lot nicer. Do you remember the 90s when we were all full bushed?
All full bushed,
it was
bush,
so
yeah.
stinky. It was like, no
I
wonder...
I don't remember stinky.
Here's the thing.
I think it's more stinky because of that.
Oh, babe.
Well,
is more the more hair there is.
This
the more
is your stink. Preference.
This is
your preference. Well, many people on the
okay.
Many people don't feel that way.
Okay, and that's totally fine. But remember, we were talking about you were asking me if I'd really done a lot of oral, and I was thinking about my early relationships, which were mainly in the 90s and early 2000s. And I guess I had started to shave a little more, groom in the early 2000s, but in the 90s, I mean, through high school and college, no, I was like full on bush. And same with my high school boyfriend, who we dated till I was like 25, and we didn't do a lot of oral. And I told you that, and I was like, I wonder if it's just because it was like so much going on down there.
For you.
We were like, maybe no, neither one of us was going after it. I still to this day don't come from oral. Like I really prefer fingers and penetration and all that. And
Maybe that was keeping you from doing more oral, and he was getting a hint. Yeah,
maybe.
because I think as a guy, we follow the lead of what the woman wants, and if he'd
Yeah.
said, "I want you down on that," he would have been doing that all day.
But I do me remember, like, guys, there is definitely a smell difference that I remember from when I did. It's just sweatier and the pee and it sticks to the hair and all that. So I'm going to say that. I'm sorry, everybody, to each their own. It's natural. We have it for a reason. It's protective.
Not your choice.
It's not my choice, but it doesn't. That's okay. It
Which
doesn't
is
have
fine.
to be.
Yep.
And yeah, I can totally see why it would be.
There's
Like
a kink for everyone, and there might be guys who are really kinky about
you're so
full
right.
bushes.
Honestly, yes, it's so true.
More the better, the more spiders outside the, what do they call it? The
I used to only
panties.
shave, I would shave my legs all the way up just to the sides of where my bikini, like my bathing suit, and then I had this big full bush on my bathing suit that looked like I had something going on. I was packing under it.
That's
But like we
kind of
all
hot,
did.
though.
We all
It's
did.
hot. Especially back then when nobody was really shaving.
No, it wasn't until very late 90s that my sisters got me aside and had an intervention and made me go to the drugstore around the corner and buy a beard trimmer. And it was a mess. It was a mess. But anyway, seriously, each to their own. I don't mean to,
Hygiene, though.
I do not mean to, yes, whatever you have, just make sure it's
Make it clean,
clean.
make it,
You don't need to douche. That's
good
terrible for
appearance.
you. That's you just, yeah, just soap and water.
So, wow, we digress there.
We totally did. What were we talking about? So yeah, we're talking about that other couple. So yeah, I think it's gonna be what, a few weeks or maybe a month before we see him,
Few
before we have
weeks,
something on the
yeah,
calendar.
3 weeks.
But that's okay. And that's how these things go, right?
Build up the courage to fuck this beautiful Amazon.
Beautiful fucking Amazon model. I'm like, oh no, it's gonna be so funny. You're gonna be like, what was I thinking? That's not gonna be.
I
Oh, it's gonna be great.
have to muster the courage,
I told him, I was
so
like, this is one of the youngest, definitely the hottest one you have by far, but
I don't know. That I've met in a
yes,
lifetime,
and the youngest. And I was telling him,
it's gonna depend on
remember how well he
chemistry.
slept after the 23-year-old at Burning Man
Yes,
in
I
the orgy
slept
den?
very well.
I was like, baby, you're gonna sleep so well. It's for your sleep, baby.
I
You can do it.
love it that I'm not having to make that claim that you're making it for me. Baby, I've got to sleep better, so I just got to get this young pussy. I don't know.
You,
Yeah, but
I
you're like,
know.
yes, you must sleep better.
You do. It's
Another
so
outcome of the
important.
lifestyle is you're telling me to go get it. I don't have to convince you why I need to go get
No.
it.
I'm all about health.
Yes, you are.
Once you live
You
forever.
are.
All right. We accidentally cut off. We were basically at the end anyway. Was there anything you wanted to add about that besides about your sleep?
I'm excited to have this couple. We like them both, and I hope I build the chemistry there. I was hoping to maybe see them before so I could just get to know her better because we
Oh,
really don't know each other.
that would be nice.
But she doesn't even really live here.
Yeah.
But no, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about you being with him because of just the hotness that happened at the party where we were both with you. I really wish we could just make this an MFM right now.
I
Yeah, but they
know.
don't play separately. But there's an opportunity that night if that.
There's an opportunity because if you finish with her
Yeah,
soon.
that's I told you last week. I was like, my goal is just to finish, make her come really fast so I can go work on you.
So hilarious. Oh my God. Yeah. And I think, yeah. And who knows, right? What I think is going to happen is you're going to have a much better time than you think. And I think you're going to forget all about what's happening over in my bed or my side of the bed or
Don't think
whatever,
that's possible.
wherever it is. Where are we going to do this?
I think my house, because I've got it open.
You do that weekend? Okay. Hot.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Plenty of bedrooms.
I don't know if she's down with that though. You think she's the same bed person?
They said parallel. That strikes me as same room.
It does.
Yeah.
That struck me as same room as well. Yeah, that's fine. That's just a lot of bodies on your, even a king bed.
Especially that tall body.
I know. I know.
He's a
We'll
little
see.
shorter, so that makes up for
Yeah.
her length, but
Sure.
we'll
Yeah, we'll
find
figure it
a
out.
way. We'll find a
We'll
way.
figure it
It's hot
out.
as fuck anyway, just thinking about it. And
If the yeah, what do you, so we they just come over to the house and we just do it, I guess.
I think
Like
we'll have a good plan. Yeah, they'll come over, and I think it'd be great. One of the things we did do with one of our couple friends was we brought out your sex quiz cards, the ones you mentioned in an earlier podcast, and that was a great icebreaker.
I think it made things awkward.
I don't think it did.
I think it did. I think it was too much lead up time and I think he just couldn't deal.
But we didn't know them, and I think it helped us get to them. Plus, I want to know what she likes.
Yeah,
and
that's
one of
true.
the great things is if a car comes about anal and she's not into that, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Or if she's not into...
We're doing anal on the first date
anyway. Yeah, it's not my first go-to anyway. But I'm just saying, you'll find out exactly what they like with those cards, at least going through a few of them.
Yeah.
And that's helpful.
Okay.
Or we just talk about it.
Yeah.
Which would be kind of hot.
Yeah. What do y'all like? What would we say we like?
I'd like to find out from him what she likes. And I'd like to tell him what you like. I think that would be
You know what?
Better.
Maybe you... Because you're already friends with him. You're already texting him.
Right.
Maybe you guys have... a side little chat, like, hey, anything, any pointers, like, don't go there, you know, here, or is that anything she particularly likes, like, oh, by the way, Anna really liked this, the fingering, and the nipple play, and she has sensitive nipples, and all that, and the kissing.
And you can do the same for me, with her.
And I can do that. I don't know. You, what don't you like?
It's probably harder to answer that question. I really don't know.
Don't take a shit on his chest. Don't pee on him.
Yeah, I'm not into the scat.
He's probably not into...
I like it all. But feet. I want to know what she likes. That's, I'm not saying what I like.
Oh, right. Well, I was just thinking of what I would tell her you like. Yes, I'll find out. I can ask her what she likes.
You could tell her what my man clit is.
If you're asking him what his girlfriend likes, should I be asking her what he likes?
I think it's a four-way conversation, right? I'm just saying, I would like to know what she likes.
Yes.
And I would like, I can tell him what you like, and I would like to know from you.
And I'll see if you can ask him what she likes, and I can also ask.
Or we're in bed and we ask each other. That's another, probably the standard.
Yeah. I feel like it's always like that transition of like a couple showing up, and we've only done this a few times, you guys, but of getting to the place where you're going to do it, if somebody's house or hotel or whatever. And then you're all standing around and like having weird small talk. You're there to have sex, but I don't know how to do that. Like, I want that. We've got to pack that some way. There has to be a better way.
I think there's a way to build the tension, right?
And it's just weird. But I know that's, I would have, you change it.
Well, the scenario I would imagine would be they come upstairs, we fix things to drink or whatever, sit on the couch, talk, start making out, and then it just takes off from there. Shall we go upstairs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rather than stand around, let's go fuck. That's a little different.
Yeah.
So there are people much more experienced than us listening to this that probably know exactly how to do that. Or
I know. Reach out to us. Seriously. Account.
Yeah.
Please,
reach out.
Please send us.
Or just share your thoughts for the audience. What would be the best ways to...
We'll interview you on our podcast.
Yeah.
You could be our special guest.
Yeah. Just break the ice kind of thing. But I think it just takes on a life of its own. And it did in those cases too.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. That's true.
Remember one, the second couple we were with?
Yeah.
They were at a hotel here in town, and we went to dinner with them, had a nice meal, and came back to the hotel and stood there in the lobby going, okay, so is everybody good here?
It was so weird. I was like, do y'all want to fuck
over? Yeah.
And finally he was like, all right, you want to go upstairs? Yeah. And I was like, okay, great.
I
guess
go.
That works. And then you get to the hotel room and the whole thing happens again. You're like,
yeah, you're standing, you have your
around.
Consent talk.
I know.
We had a little consent talk there.
I
like,
guess we did.
What are your boundaries and stuff?
But yeah.
I'm not uncomfortable with that. I'm really not.
I'd rather have that kind of discussion beforehand. Ask her what she likes. What are their boundaries as a couple? What's she comfortable with? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That by text.
We talked about that when with you asking that in advance.
Yeah, we did.
And really taking that burden off of trying to figure it out and just knowing what the boundaries were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a place for that conversation before we meet up, or even maybe that morning. But it just shows your respect for them.
Yeah.
That you're saying, hey, I just want to make sure you're okay as the other woman. What do you like, what do you not, in terms of what would make you uncomfortable?
Yeah.
That I could do.
Yeah.
How can I make you feel more comfortable, better? And she might say, oh, it's all fine, it's all good, it's all fine. You know?
Yeah.
Which is almost consent on its own. Okay, I asked you what was going on.
And which is nice, and it would relax me.
Yeah, you'd feel more comfortable that way.
Yeah,
more relaxed,
yeah.
You know? Yeah. Because I think you in particular are more in your head about what she's thinking than maybe a lot of other people are.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
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 Maybe.
I'm not in his head about what he's thinking at all.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I would love to live in that head.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about what's in your head.
Aww.
Because I just know how you are. But we'll find that sense of abandon, and it'll be great.
I mean, I'm concerned about what's in everybody's head, honestly, except for my own.
Yes, you are.
So I gotta fucking stop that.
We talked about that a lot in the last episode. That was a lot of really good insight on that.
Yeah. I think the more I can relax, the more fun I'll have, and the more I'll be able to. You can't, when your cortisol is going and you're just not feeling, you're feeling stressed or awkward, your vag will just dry up and your erection will fall. To the extent, man or woman, that you can get yourself relaxed and happy and not worrying about everybody else's feelings and letting them and all that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'll work on. I'll work on let them.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's actually, let's take that in the bedroom.
Yes, take it in the bedroom. And I will, of course, but I love the idea of connecting with her before and making sure, hey, is there anything that, because I, of course, don't want to hurt her.
She was very direct with you in terms of, super. Hey, are you, what's she saying that text today?
We're like totally down with parallel play, which is great, which is very direct.
Yeah.
We knew exactly what they meant. We're like, basically, we want to fuck you. Perfect. That's exact. It's just, am I training? Maybe it's because she's younger generation, right? She doesn't feel as much shame around it. Like, I've just been so taught, like, never to be sexually aggressive. And you can't do that unless you're in deeply committed relationship and you know you're good, or else you'll be seen as a slut. So that's just not how the way the lifestyle works.
Now you can be seen as a slut and it's
you
okay.
can totally embrace your inner slut, even though I'm still not very slutty, but still I'm
sure you are. I'll let you know in a couple weeks.
So we'll definitely update you and let you know how it goes. We might intersperse different topics as they come up, because the reason we talked about what we did tonight, the monogamous couples and the conflicts that come up, is because it was fresh in our minds, because we've been talking to our friends lately. We're trying to record things as they're fresh in our minds, because it's just better content for you that way. We're not having to remember as much. But
awesome. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.
Yeah.
Bye.